Hello, Lenten pilgrims. Welcome to your Sabbath day, your fourth Sabbath in Lent. It's March 14th. This is the 26th episode of our Lenten daily devotion. Kind of turning around the backside and beginning to head towards home, but still a good chunk of way to go. We start a new theme this week with Mary Alice Mulligan called Expect New Life. Expect New Life. That's what faith means. Expect new life. That's what God brings. New life. Amen. We've got some beautiful, soothing Nature's Dreams soundtrack in the background by Tim Janis. We've got the cerulean surf and sea candle and the cozy chamomile tea. Double bagged, thank you very much. We're going to hear some scripture today that you are probably somewhat or very much familiar with from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. That's John 3, 14 through 21. We'll hear some insights from Mary Alice Mulligan, some reflective questions. We're going to turn back to Mary Oliver today for a very seasonably timely little poem today. And we'll end with a prayer. Amen. All right. So as we open our Bible, let's remember that that is just an invitation sent to God, from us, to join with us in the hearing of the gospel word. We welcome God in. We rely on the Holy Spirit to read for us and interpret. Give us the words we're meant to hear. So let's do that. Amen. John 3, verses 14 through 21. Here's what the gospel says. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so I, the Son of Man, must be lifted up on a pole, so that everyone who believes in me will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. There is no judgment awaiting those who trust him, but those who do not trust him have already been judged for not believing in the only Son of God. Their judgment is based on this fact. The light from heaven came into the world, but they loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. They hate the light because they want to sin in the darkness. They stay away from the light for fear their sins will be exposed and they will be punished. But those who do what is right come to the light gladly, so everyone can see that they are doing what God wants. Always good to reread that scripture. Get a little something different out of it every time. Here's some comments from Mary Alice Mulligan. She says this, remember, signs used to appear frequently in ballparks. John 3:16. This one verse was used to draw a line in the dirt. On one side, people who believe in Jesus will go to heaven. On the other side, those who don't will go to hell. What the signs really meant was, believe in Jesus the same way I do, or too bad for you. The focus seemed to be getting people to their side of a line in the dirt. But the gospel says, Jesus is to save the whole world. So what does that mean? Curiously, the judgment statements may help explain salvation best. Those who do not believe in Jesus are condemned or judged already. There is no indication John means an afterlife punishment, but rather that those who do not get who Jesus is are already stumbling around in the dark. Those who are working to figure out Jesus are already living into the reality God plans for the whole world. Someone in the 21st century might say that salvation involves a world paradigm shift. Salvation involves a world paradigm shift, a total change of perspective, as if being born into reality as God intends it. Amen. Being born into reality as God intends it. Some comments for reflection. Can you write about times you acted as if you forgot to turn on God's lights? Perhaps a time you acted meanly or selfishly, hoping no one would find out. Times you acted as if you forgot to turn on God's lights. When you acted meanly or selfishly, hoping no one would find out. And can you also note times you behaved in ways that expressed love for God and others? Those times when you behaved in ways that expressed love for God and others. And finally, did you ever feel like new life was breaking in because of your belief in Jesus? Amen. I love that question. Did you ever feel like new life was breaking in because of your belief in Jesus? It's a wonderful thought. Today we have a poem from Mary Oliver called On Winter's Margin, kind of where we find ourselves on a day like today. I'll read it twice, On Winter's Margin by Mary Oliver. On winter's margin, see the small birds now with half-forged memories come flocking home to gardens famous for their charity. The green globe's broken. Vines like tangled veins hang at the entrance to the silent wood. With half a loaf, I am the prince of crumbs. By time snows down, the birds amassed will sing like children for their sire to walk abroad. But what I love is the gray, stubborn hawk who floats alone beyond the frozen vines. And what I dream of are the patient deer who stand on legs like reeds and drink the wind. They are what saves the world, who choose to grow thin to a starting point beyond the squalor. On Winter's Margin by Mary Oliver. On winter's margin, see the small birds now with half-forged memories come flocking home to gardens famous for their charity. The green globe's broken, Vines like tangled veins hang at the entrance to the silent wood. With half a loaf, I am the Prince of Crumbs. By time snows down, the birds amassed will sing like children for their sire to walk abroad. But what I love is the gray, stubborn hawk who floats alone beyond the frozen vines. And what I dream of are the patient deer who stand on legs like reeds and drink the wind. They are what saves the world, who choose to grow thin to a starting point beyond this squalor. Let us pray. Beloved Savior, open my eyes. Open my eyes, beloved Savior, and teach me your ways. Amen.